Have your say. 1300 872911. John McKenzie, 4CA.
Let's go to this COVID crisis to our immediate north now. Just this just came off the web this morning. Port Moresby Hospital warning of COVID patients dying in car parks as PNG suffers coronavirus surge. I mean, this is a significant threat to our immediate north. We have to be conscious of this. We're going to get an update on what's being done to avoid this fundamentally jumping at Torres Strait and representing a threat to us here on the Cape. Now, it says the number of daily COVID-19 infections in PNG has reached a record high, 295 cases recorded in 24 hours. It goes on to talk about COVID-19 patients being treated outside isolation wards in Port Moresby. Yesterday, the story was about a photo of a dying woman at the hospital, leading to the public outcry. A hospital worker saying they are overwhelmed and they are predicting a further rise in unexpected deaths. The number of COVID-19 cases across PNG has tripled over the past month, with the country's major hospital reporting 7 out of every 10 symptomatic patients are testing positive to coronavirus. This is in Moresby, just to the north. Now, a few days ago, I talked to Dr. Tony Brown. He's Executive Director, Medical Services, Torres and Cape Hospital. And he's sort of the thin line of defence, I suppose some people would say, between a PNG and what's happening here on Cape York. Now, I'm going to give you a little update with Tony in just a moment about the measures being taken to protect us here against being impacted by this threat to the north. This is a couple of days ago. It reads here more than 80% of people on Saibai have been vaccinated against COVID in a fast-tracked rollout across the Torres Strait. Dr. Tony Brown said there were 27,000 people to be vaccinated in the voluntary program, and the AstraZeneca vaccine was being used because it's more stable, etc. Further in the article, it goes on to say this. By the way, SkyTrans have been really helpful with this matter too. They're operating across Cape York and the Torres Strait. They've stepped up the delivery, transporting vaccines free, and the health workers are being also transported at a heavily discounted rate. Now, it goes on to say, this is Dr. Brown, obviously people have had this vaccine hesitation, what's been on social media, etc., but I can absolutely reassure people, this vaccine is safe and it's very urgent. Anyway, he goes on to say, it must be rolled out by October 31, means we have to vaccinate 1,200 people per week in our communities. I thought this was interesting. He said there were logistical challenges like accommodation for health workers. Now, the hubs, he went on to say, would be created at Weipa and at Cooktown. There'll be 6 teams operating simultaneously across the region. It's certainly getting organised. Dr. Tony Brown is on the line to talk about this. G'day, Tony.
How are we going there, John?
Oh, gee, you've got a hell of a job on your hands there. Obviously very focused. Talk to me about how the program's coming together.
Yeah, so as you know, we started vaccinating on Saibai last week and had a very good response. We had about an 86% rate uptake of the vaccine for those eligible for the vaccine. And our team did a great job out there with communication and also getting the health workers at the front end to do the culturally appropriate work. And it was a great success. So then we went to Duane Island yesterday. Now, that's only accessed by helicopter, so we took our teams out there and had an even greater response. So, and today we're starting on Boigu, of which we've done quite a bit of community communications, so we're hoping to have a good uptake there. So they're the 3 islands that face Papua New Guinea, and we're hoping once we've got them done, we can start to move some of the other islands.
Talk to me about populations, like, for example, Saibai. How many live on Saibai?
Well, we thought we had a bit over 200 eligible for the vaccine on Saibai. Boigu was around about up around the 80 mark. Duan was up around the 80 mark. And then Boigu is sort of going to be around the same numbers.
We're talking about age-based eligibility, are we?
That's right, yes. So anyone over 18.
Over 18 up there. This is interesting. Let me ask you this. You talked about cyber. 86% have embraced the opportunity. The other 14%, what was the situation there?
Well, some of them were, so we've got to be careful about the allergy history and the like. So some of them decided to defer till next time. So there wasn't too many people who are actually vaccine hesitant, which was much less than we thought would be.
All right. Now, you went on to, what does it do, Juan? Today is by, when you talk about your team going to those, I mean, one today's by helicopter, how many people are we talking about?
We need nurses to vaccinate, so sort of around about four, and then we've got the admin staff and the data people, and then we've got the health workers, and we've got a doctor. So that's quite a few people to get there. Yeah, so there's a number of choppers worth.
Now, when will you be finished up there in the Torres Strait, if you had to have a guess?
I think because there's been a disruption in supply out of Europe, as you know, and we're only starting to get the Australian vaccine from the start of April, we've had to put back our rollout program. So we're probably not going to finish in the Torres now till May, into May, and then we'll be overlapping a bit, we hope, into the Cape. But the trouble is it's a huge logistical exercise, and getting the number of staff and then getting them to communities is always a challenge. So because we're having to recruit from internally, there's not a lot of staff available in Queensland, let alone Australia, to provide this. So we're having to train our own staff, and we also have to keep other health services going, even though we've scaled back a bit.
Yeah. I mean, even accommodation is a challenge, is it?
Yes, well, most of these islands have no accommodation, so we may, in most cases, leave one or two staff on the island to come back. The rest of them have to fly in, fly out, which are reasonable distances, and they come in and out of Horn Island at the moment. And so that's a fair time taken to get yourself from TI, or you can stay on Horn Island to the airport to fly, to get off, to set up the vaccine clinic.
Now, you've used the term overlapping onto the Cape. I'm just looking here. You're talking about hubs being created at Weipa and as far south as Cooktown.
That's right. Yes, exactly.
So you're going to be actually vaccinating down that far south?
Yeah, well, the Torres and Cape extends down to Woodjewoodjewel and across to Karanyama and Pomerau. So,
God, it's a hell of a job. How many thousand people are we talking about? How many thousand vaccinations are we talking about that you'll be responsible for?
Well, the population is 27,000. Of course, that's not all the eligible. The eligible population will be less than that.
Okay.
It's about 27% children. So I suppose you're looking at around about 23,000, 24,000,
something like that. Yeah. Hell of a challenge ahead of you, isn't it, Tony? Hell of a challenge.
Yeah.
Don't go away. I'm interested in what's happening up there in PNG. It's interesting. A whole lot of people have been saying it's only a matter of time and it's going to explode up there. Well, that seems to have happened. They're talking about 7 out of every 10 at that hospital now testing positive to coronavirus. What are your thoughts on this and the potential danger there, and what more do you think needs to be done to avoid something catastrophic? I mean, obviously, the vaccines are in short supply worldwide. Now, the Australian government sending up, I think, 8,000, if I remember, jabs, and that's fundamentally for frontline workers. What does the future hold for the people in PNG?
Well, our Prime Minister has committed to vaccinate, certainly through Warren Inch, into the Western Province. Now, our elders and communities aren't all that keen for that to happen out of the Torres Strait, so that will be a logistical problem in itself. And obviously, a lot of these villages are only accessible by boat or by helicopter. There's no landing strips and no roads. So but obviously, if we can vaccinate the Western Province, that would be a good protection for Australia. We've got we're talking with our Australian Border Force partners, DFAT, to even more strengthen the border, because we fear that if the situation becomes untenable in Papua New Guinea, then there will be a surge across the border. So we're just they're doing a lot of proactive work into strengthening the border to protect against that incursion.
meaning people trying to avoid contamination would fund...
People infected, yes, coming across.
And this is why the people in the Torres Strait are very wary about not running the campaign from the Torres Strait. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely, yeah, because then we have a conduit, direct conduit into the Torres from Papua New Guinea, yes.
Gee, this is an important point you're bringing up about people fundamentally, well, whether or not they're actually infected with this scourge, they would be tempted to do whatever they could to get across the Torres Strait, fundamentally, to find a safer haven.
Absolutely, yeah.
And they would be tempted to come across at night, obviously. Can I ask you about the sort of measures that are being taken to protect our borders up there now that this threat has been realised?
So our border forces strengthen their presence on Boyabu and Saibai, and the Australian Defence Force have moved back up again to take up a protection role. And they have, you know, a number of vessels offshore, and we have a whole process that no one can actually come ashore without a human biosecurity officer, which I am one, saying that they can come in. And then any staff that have contact with any Papua New Guinean national wears full protection. Even if they have a negative test, when we test them within Saibai Boyabu, because we have point-of-care testing there, we still treat them as if they're infected.
Mm. My God, it's some responsibility you have on your shoulders, Tony, isn't it?
Yes, and we've got a good team in the Torres and Cape and our agencies working well with all the QPS and Australian Border Force and Defence. I think we've got a good team around us.
Well, you've alerted us to this surge and this very recent surge, given the incredible figure, 7 out of 10 are positives up there in those tests taken. So, obviously, your finger's got to be on the pulse to see if that becomes a reality, this surge of people fundamentally escaping the Western province and getting into the tip of Cape York.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're doing our very best to stop all that from happening.
All right, Tony, appreciate the update. We'll stay in touch. Thank you. Dr. Tony Brown, he's the Executive Director of Medical Services, Torres and Cape Hospital and Health Services. He's the Incident Controller to Torres and Cape COVID Response.